Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bootleg run for Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill will take it all the way. Airborne for the touchdown.
First and goal for the Titans.
Ready? What's up?
Take the handoff. Tannehill
wide open. Touchdown. Dennis Kelly eligible on the play, and it's a big man TD.
At the 26-yard line. Henry, running lane.
Henry, turning on the speed. Derrick Henry, stiff arm. Henry, another. Oh, he's done it again. Oh, Henry. Touchdown, Titans.
Tannehill, perfect throw.
A.J. Brown. And Brown turns on the Jets. Touchdown. It is an onslaught in Nashville. 65 yards on the catch and run.
A rejuvenated Tennessee Titans team is now over the 500 mark with a 42-20 dominant win against the Jaguars.
That is right. The Tennessee Titans NFL playoff hopes are still alive and well. Morning Drive. Welcome to the show. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson here hanging out on a Monday edition. The Titans win 42-20 yesterday. We got a huge win by the Preds over the weekend on Saturday night. The Tennessee Volunteers are bowl eligible. We got all kinds of good stuff. Maybe the path for Alabama has opened up to the playoff. We've got all kinds of stuff to discuss, but you heard it there, Derek. Derrick Henry, the man of the hour once again against the Jacksonville Jaguars. 19 carries, 159 yards, two touchdowns, and an eerily similar 74-yard touchdown run up the gut to break it open. The Tennessee Titans offense was incredibly efficient yesterday. The game plan, obviously, to run Derrick Henry, it worked incredibly well. They forced Jacksonville out of their game plan. And Mike Vrabel, we're going to discuss a lot of things, Derek. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of things about Derrick Henry. There's going to be a lot of things about Ryan Tannehill, a lot of things about the defense, a lot of things about what are the playoff chances that this team actually has moving forward, now sitting at 6-5 and tied with three other teams for the last wild card spot. But I think one of the big stories that might get lost is Mike Vrabel now is 4-0 in two seasons coming off either a bye or a mini bye, meaning the week after a Thursday night. When he has extra time to prepare, Derek, he is undefeated. He is 4-0 in those situations now in the NFL, and you got to give this team and the coaching staff and the players a lot of credit. It was a complete victory with a 28-point third quarter.
Yeah, it was a it was a close game in the first half, and then that third quarter, the dam just broke, and you know, it was reminiscent to the Thursday night game, when all of a sudden all these points were scored, and it wasn't by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville helped them, turnovers, penalties, but the Titans did exactly what they were accustomed to doing to Jacksonville. That 74-yard run, I mean, you can take the commentary from the 99-yard run and put it in place and wouldn't know whether it was the 99-yard run or the 74-yard run, because it was about four stiff arms in there down the left sideline,
with some speed and some power
exactly.
All mixed together.
So they just, for some reason, other than, you know, a few games here and there, it typically starts off pretty, you know, close, tough, rugged game. And then all of a sudden, the Titans find a way, especially at home, the Titans find a way to open the game up. And they did just that yesterday. Turnovers, getting three and outs, taking advantage of opportunities that they were given. They used the run game better than they have used it all season, meaning play action as well. They didn't force anything. They took what the defense gave them. But when Derrick Henry is running the ball effectively like that, and you don't have shut down corners on both sides, it makes it impossible to stop both. Now, when they had Jalen Ramsey, they can play man-to-man and put an extra guy. Sometimes right. It really didn't matter. But in this situation, you don't have Jalen Ramsey. You have Boye and Herndon. And they played okay, but when Derrick Henry is running like that, man, that safety has to come up,
yeah. And
it leaves the middle of the field. And it seemed like Jacksonville quit, too. I think after that 74-yard run, it seemed like Jacksonville just – their defense just said, you know what, we throw our hands up because the offense is not getting anything done.
I think it was two plays later, technically, in my opinion, because the very next play after the 74-yard run for Derrick Henry was the Darren Bates forced fumble mm-hmm. on the kickoff, which is going to go – I don't think unnoticed, but I think it's going to be one of the bigger plays of the game that really did break their back. Because
biggest play.
Once that play happened, they immediately turned around and gave it to Henry again, and he scores on the next play. And all of a sudden, you go Dennis Kelly touchdown pass, fat guy touchdown. Everybody loves a fat guy touchdown.
Yeah.
There's nobody on the planet that doesn't like a fat guy touchdown. And Dennis Kelly's like the largest human on the team. So he catches the touchdown. Then all of a sudden, Derrick Henry rips off a 74-yard run. Then Darren Bates forces the fumble. Then Derrick Henry runs it in from 16. And then in the very next possession, that's when Ryan Tannehill finds A.J. Brown who on like a 5-yard route, who then just does what A.J. Brown does, which is make a bunch of people miss, use some deceptive speed and get to the end zone. 4 touchdowns on 6 plays. And I think the Darren Bates fumble is what, to your point, I think they quit too. You know what it did? They've now given up 700 yards of rushing in 3 games. 700 yards rushing. That defense does not care anymore. They got tee times at Doral down the road. They are done. And it felt like the Titans put a stake in the back of the coffin right there in the third quarter.
Well, this is what has happened to the Jacksonville Jaguars for the last 2 years, especially when playing the Titans. It's that the defense hangs on. Their offense is not generating everything. And then, bam, Derrick Henry hits you with some consistent runs or a big home run. And then the defense they throw their hands up because they're like, we've done all that we can do. We've held this guy in check for so long, and you guys haven't put up points. And their defense you can see on the run that got called back, that Derrick Henry ran when it was a call.
The screen pass?
Jonnu Smith. It was a holding call on Jonnu Smith. It was a holding call, people, and don't argue it. It was a holding call. But that play alone, he just ran through people. He tight-roped the sidelines, and it was a touchdown. They ended up bringing it back, and I think the Titans ended up scoring on that play, on that drive anyway. But they systematically broke down their defense. They systematically imposed their will on the Jacksonville Jaguars. And there was nothing. They'd get a stop here. They'd get a stop there. And then when they needed to stop the Titans, it was either play action to Derrick Henry or Derrick Henry up the middle. They had no answers for once the Titans got going deep. Once the run game got going, it was like playing pitch and catch. The Brown, pass to Brown, it was just – that was a practice pass,
right?
Because he ran this what you call is just a speed in. It was a 12-yard in. Boye is off, and then when he catches the ball, this is what I don't understand. This is another reason why if you're watching Jacksonville, you see that because of what Tennessee is doing, they are slowly quitting. Yep. When Brown catches the end yard route, Boye slows down. He just slows down. For whatever reason, he slows down. It was like, okay, he caught it. Somebody will make the tackle. And nobody wanted. Yeah. Nobody made the tackle. No, he just ran scot-free. Nobody touched him. Well, he ran scot-free.
Corey Davis had a great block.
Yeah, Corey Davis had a really good block.
Corey Davis a lot of credit
to
on that.
Shield the guy off. But when he caught the pass, Boye just slowed down. That, to me, shows that they quit. Their mentality was, yo, okay, if they don't score on this play, they're gonna score on Derrick Henry's play, so it really don't matter.
And listen, you're 4-7 now. You're at a point where you're just getting pummeled in the third quarter. You give up 4 touchdowns in 6 plays, and you look around and who are you turning? You're turning to $22 million Nick Foles, who's gonna throw the ball 48 times.
He's not gonna beat you like that.
I'm sorry, he's threw the ball 47 times last week and 48 times this week. That's not a recipe for how Jacksonville's gonna win football games. And the Titans stuck with their game plan. Obviously, Derrick Henry is the primary game plan, but Ryan Tannehill was excellent as well. A couple of nice runs where he you know, he shows some toughness diving into the end zone. He was incredibly efficient in the passing game, but like you said, when Derrick Henry's working like that, this is what we talk about with this team for now years. Mm-hmm. When Derrick Henry's working the way he 8 yards a carry yesterday, when he's working like that, all you need from your quarterback is to go 14 of 18. You don't need him to be the superstar. He can just be a complimentary piece, and he was an exceptional complimentary piece yesterday, delivering throws where he needed to, 2 touchdowns in the air, 2 touchdowns on the ground for Tannehill. The whole offense, that's what we envision when we think about this Titans offense. Get a lead early, and then hold on to it by wearing you down with Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry now has, in his last 2 games, by the way, 42 carries, 347 yards, and 4 touchdowns. That is 8.3 yards a carry in 2 games. And it just, all of it feels like last year, where he was pretty good. He's obviously been far better this year, building up to this point. But it feels like there's another gear there. And for him to do what he did against the Chiefs, I realize the Chiefs' defense is not great against the run. I realize Jacksonville's defense is quitting right now. There's no question. Again, 700 yards rushing the Jacksonville Jaguars. They can give it up in 3 games.
They got a bunch of good names,
you know,
but they're not playing. Yeah.
That's, in the NFL, they give up 700 yards rushing in 3
days?
You
might as well just lay down.
That's insanely hard to do. That's 230 a pop. I don't understand how you do that. But the Titans stuck with the game plan. That should have been the game plan. They didn't overthink it. They went with their gut. And again, I think one of the bigger stories is Mike Vrabel. Like, we've been critical of Mike Vrabel this year, rightly so. He's made some mistakes in in-game situations and whatever. But he stuck with the game plan. And when he comes off a bye week, he's now 2-0 off the bye in his career. He's 2-0 following Thursday night games when you get that mini bye, and he's 1-1 in season opening games when he has extra time to prepare. And the only loss was that crazy Miami game at the start of his career last year as a head coach, that was the longest game in NFL history. So when he has extra time to prepare, he's been very good. And again, it's a short sample size. It doesn't mean he's going to be great every year like this, but you know, 4-0 is 4-0 when you've got extra time to prepare. That means he's seeing something, making adjustments, talking to his team the right way. Whatever it is, it's working for him.
Yeah, I mean, whatever they are doing off the bye, mini bye, beginning of the season, it's working. And I'm sure a lot of it is, you know, turn around, get a ball to Derrick Henry. Their defense got back to playing the way it had been playing the prior to the 2 games before this one. Where they were giving up uncharacteristically a bunch of yards and a bunch of points. But if you look at Derrick Henry, this is a guy since the game where the 99-yard run, he's led the league in rushing, he's led the league in yards per carry and touchdowns. Since that game on Monday
things,
night,
right?
Since that game on Thursday night where he had the 99-yard run, he's led the league in those 3 categories. This guy is turning into the best runner in the league. I'm not saying the best running back, but he is arguably the best runner in the National Football League. Running back, I'm not talking running back. I'm not talking because the definition of running back now is catch, run,
block
all this other stuff. But when you're talking just a runner, hand it off, he's becoming, if not, he's in the top 2 or 3 best runner in the National Football League right now.
Imagine if he was playing behind a really, really good offensive line. Imagine that.
Just imagine if he could just catch the ball.
Or that, too.
You know, 70% of the time. I mean, good Lord, he would be the best back in the National Football League.
By the way, I should not say this in the first segment because it's going to sound like I'm picking on him and he's already sensitive on Twitter, but even on the 74-yard run, Big Rodge just whiffed. And I'm watching that play. I've watched it back like 10 times, and I'm like, because they had so many guys.
Somebody goes to this the Big Rod, and he goes, I'm the most hated guy in
Nashville. And I'm not trying to pick on him. I'm not trying to pick on him. It just stuck in my mind because they had everybody up on the line. They had Miles Jack up on the line. They had everybody on the line. So you could tell it's one of those, if he breaks through the first wave,
he's gone.
He's gone because you can already see everybody's up on the line, and Big Rod just whiffs on his block. And the only tackle Derrick Henry had to break on that play really was the guy that Big Rod just let run into the backfield. And then he goes for 74, and you're like,
oh, man.
You're like, so I'm sorry, Big Raj. I didn't mean to pick on you that quick. I apologize. You guys had a
get
great,
it out the way.
You guys had a great game, and you played an exceptional game yesterday. 42-20 winners over Jacksonville. You're now 6-5. You're tied with the Colts. You're tied with the Raiders. You're tied with the Steelers. All four of you guys now tied for the final wild card in the AFC with 5 to play, and it is all in front of you if you're the Tennessee Titans. It is sitting there in front of you. What yesterday was, it was a nice win. All it did was keep you alive in the playoffs. It's every single week now for the Titans. It's no longer – you're not going to go win anything any given Sunday, but you're going to lose everything if you don't – if you can't finish the deal. And so far, so good. 1-0 after the bye, 5 to play with a chance to make the playoffs. All right, when we come back, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, who made the most money yesterday? Who's making the most money right now? And we'll get to the quarterback's performance yesterday when we return. Off and running here, Morning Drive on a Monday edition. Titans with a huge win. We'll get to the Preds in a little bit, but who made the most money yesterday? Derek Mason, Braden Gall. This is Morning Drive. Just win, baby. Ryan Tannehill now 4-1 as a starter of the Tennessee Titans. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. And we were having I was having all kinds of fascinating conversations on Twitter, Derek, as you might assume. When Ryan Tannehill does something well, I hear about it on Twitter, of course, even though I can watch the game with my eyes and I know that it's good.
They just want to remind you.
And that's fine. I deserve it. That's fine. Ryan Tannehill's not – like, here's the thing. Even the people that were the most ardent and passionate supporters of Ryan Tannehill did not see this coming. They didn't see 4-1 as a starter, even though two of those games they were very lucky to win. It doesn't matter how it happens. You win. Just win. And they're 4-1 with Ryan Tannehill as the starter. Derrick Henry's contract is up at the end of the year. Ryan Tannehill's contract is up at the end of the year. And I don't know if they can continue this, Derek. I have no clue. Their schedule's very difficult. They got the Colts this weekend on the road. Then they have Oakland, two teams that they are literally tied with right now for the wild card. So it is all in front of them. I don't know if they can continue this moving forward. But right now, enjoy it because they're playing efficient football on offense. Tannehill is in complete control, playing with so much confidence. And when Derrick Henry runs the ball like he has the last couple of weeks, it affects the rest of the team. You can see it on the sidelines. And I think he was asked after the game a little bit about, hey, what does it mean when you get, you know, does it affect the team? Do you guys get more excited when you make these big plays? And he was like, do you see the locker room or do you see the sideline? Do you see the guys and how they reacted when I make big plays? And so he's not one to talk a lot, but he lets his work do the talking. And yesterday, both those guys were exceptional. They've been very good the last month, and they both appear to be making themselves some serious coin.
Yeah, they both feed off of one another. You know, Derrick Henry, like I said, he's slowly becoming the best running back, runner, let me say that, best runner in the National Football League. Ryan Tannehill has had this resurgence, so to speak, in his play. Has it always been perfect? No, it hasn't. But he's done exactly what the Tennessee Titans wanted him to do, and he's made some plays here and there. His quarterback rating was a 93 yesterday. He misfired on 4 passes, almost 300 yards in total. I mean, almost 300 yards passing the ball. And then you throw in Derrick Henry, 159 yards. You know, they racked up a lot of points and a lot of yardage because of that duo. The offensive line is doing a great job at run blocking. And when you're running the ball the way they are, it makes pass blocking a little bit easier.
Only 1 sack yesterday.
Yeah, because those guys are not coming off the edge with their ears pent back because they also got to prepare for Derrick Henry getting the football. So it helps you that Derrick Henry is running effectively. He's running strong. He's running physical. He's running fast.
Is the offensive line success, because we saw this team give up 9 sacks to Jacksonville early in the year. No Taylor Lewan, obviously. Nate Davis, you know, hadn't necessarily figured out his place yet. Is it as simple as this team needs to play with a lead? Like, is it that simple that when they play with the lead every part of their offense works better. That when Derrick Henry can be featured, when they can run the football on first and second down if they need to, when they're in third and short. Here's the stat that I think really stands out about yesterday's game. They had 8 third down attempts. It's good that they went 4 for 8. That's 50%. That's really nice. But they only had 8 third down attempts. That means you're not even getting to third down.
You're right.
That means you're picking up first downs on first and second down. You know how many third down attempts Jacksonville had? 18.
That's too many.
18 times you're sitting there on third down trying to convert. The Titans didn't have to do any of that work yesterday. I think it's as simple as when you play from a lead, you're protecting your biggest weakness, which is your offensive line's ability to pass block, and they didn't have to do it yesterday. Tannehill had 18 attempts, a couple of runs, a couple of scrambles. You know, they took that part of the game out of it for Jacksonville. And Calais Campbell was not nearly the same player he was as they were down in Jacksonville when they got out to an early lead and Jacksonville could pin their ears back and come after him.
Yeah, you're right. Because of the way Derrick Henry is running the football, because of how efficient Ryan Tannehill has been in their 4 wins, they had a loss in the middle of that to Carolina. But against the Chargers, Tampa, Kansas City, and Jacksonville, he's had 947 yards with 9 touchdowns, if I'm right. Yeah, 9 touchdowns with 3 interceptions. That's efficiency right there. He's completing over 70% of his passes. That is efficiency. His quarterback rating has been over 100 in all of – well, close to 100 in one of the games, which was the last one, and he's been around that 60-ish. He's averaged 60-something percent quarterback rating, somewhere around there.
Why are you stealing all my efficiency metrics over there, Derek?
Hey,
you know, I'm the nerd. Come on, man. I got yards per play stats over here. I'm ready to go.
But I'm just looking at how efficient, because if you look at an offense, An offense operates best when there's this good run pass ratio, and I don't mean throw the ball 30 times or run it 30 times. I mean efficiency.
Right.
When they are as efficient throwing the football as they are running it. When Derrick Henry is averaging over 5 yards per carry, and then you see Ryan Tannehill averaging, what did he average, like
yesterday was 14
yards.
14 yards in attempt.
You're talking first downs.
What's going on with you over
basically
there?
Basically,
taking my
with
yards
the running
per
back
attempt numbers?
And a quarterback every time they run the ball or throw the ball, they're getting a first down.
You're encroaching on my brand over here, Derek, okay? So here are the numbers for efficiency yesterday that you guys know I'm obsessed with and I cite all the time. Tennessee Titans yesterday, 9.1 yards per play. 471 yards is nice. What matters, 9.1 yards per play. Every time the Titans snapped the ball yesterday, they were picking up 9 yards. That's incredible. The Jags yesterday, 4.7 yards per play. That you're doubling the offensive production on a per snap basis. Ryan Tannehill, and here's the other thing. This was what struck me looking at the numbers a little bit deeper. One of the other efficiency numbers I use is yards per attempt for quarterback. It's how much are you gaining on every time you drop back and throw the football? How efficient are you? Both teams had exactly 252 yards passing. Exactly 252 yards passing yesterday, which means the passing offenses for the Titans and the Jags had the exact same number of yardage output, total yards. This is why that number is no longer the most important number, because the Titans got there on 13.3 yards per attempt. That means every time they, as an offense, drop back to throw the ball, this includes a sack, of course, they were averaging over 13 yards per attempt. Nick Foles dropped back 48 times yesterday and had the same exact number of total yards. So they both have 252. One's averaging 13 yards per attempt. The other one's averaging 5. If my quarterback is throwing the ball 13 yards per drop back and your quarterback is throwing the ball 5 yards per drop back, I'm sorry. That's almost 3 times as efficient. And that is what you want when you're a Tennessee Titans fan. Is you look at your offense, you look at yards per carry for Derek Mason or Derek Mason. I don't know. You probably picked up a few yards per carry yesterday, and you look at yards per attempt. And those are the two numbers I think that the stats guys now care about.
Yeah, and those point straight to efficiencies. Efficiency. How efficient is the offense running the ball, and how efficient are they passing it. And then you put them both together and you come up with 9 yards per play. They're almost getting a first down every time they throw a run to football combined. And that's, you know, that's hard to play against any, you know, when you're going against any defense, for them to stop that, it's hard. Then it frustrates you. And we saw the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, get frustrated. They hit on Teddy Lewan by Calais Campbell. You know, that was a hit. I think that was more so a frustration hit. I don't think he really cared who it was. It just so happened to be
the late hit.
Yeah, the late hit. I don't think he really cared who it was. It was just a guy, a big guy in a Titans uniform, and he was frustrated and got the penalty. But
well,
just
and
so
Yannick Ngakoue took a cheap shot at Taylor Lewan earlier in the game.
Yeah.
When they were running on, I think it was a 3rd and 1, mm-hmm. and that, you know, Derrick Henry got stopped short, and they were kind of pushing the pile, and Ngakoue came in and just like speared him in the ribcage. And and after the game, Lewan was like, "Yeah, it means I'm doing my job if they're taking shots at me." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "That's a good way to look at it."
Yeah, or old Taylor they hate you.
Old Taylor Lewan might have reacted to that though.
Yeah, or they just everybody in the league just hates you for some reason. I don't know, but that is not the story here. The story is the Titans coming off a bye. Arthur Smith putting together an excellent game plan. The Titans taking that game plan and implementing it the way you envisioned. The defense back to playing the way it has normally played. And you can't ask for anything more than what they did. Yesterday. So
it's what they want it to look like.
Uh-huh.
You come off the game. You come off the bye week with a game plan that you want to execute. You go out and you execute. You're efficient on offense. You're efficient running the football. You're efficient on defense. Darren Bates in special teams makes a huge play. And it is what it's supposed to look like. It looked like a team prepared and ready to play. And Jacksonville looked like a team ready to quit. And then the third quarter, after a half of football, it happened. The Titans stuck with it. They exploded for 4 touchdowns. And the Jacksonville Jaguars quit. And I don't know if Jacksonville's getting off the mat the rest of the season. I don't know about that. We will take a look at the playoff picture when we return. Obviously, both Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill earning themselves some money, both a huge part of the offense. But what does that mean for the Titans moving forward? A huge win yesterday over Jacksonville, 42-20, as they continue to dominate the Jacksonville Jaguars in Nissan Stadium. Now 6-5 on the season and tied with a boatload of teams, but what does it mean moving forward? What does the playoff picture look like in the AFC for your Tennessee Titans? We'll do that when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, it's a week to week at this point in the season. You know, we're heading into November. I don't even know when the next game is going to be, if it's late November or December. But these meaningful games late in the year, they're huge. Every single year, it comes down to the same thing. It's who can play well at the end of the season, and get in the dance. So we got to take it one week at a time. You know, big game coming up next week.
That was the new star of Tennessee Titans football, Ryan Tannehill, right there. 14 of 18, 259 yards passing, 2 touchdowns yesterday for the Tennessee Titans, and 2 rushing touchdowns as well, getting the crowd hyped, and his wife apparently as well. His wife doesn't want him to slide. I don't know if you saw that, Derek. This was I believe a Jim Wyatt story on Titans Online where he said,
"Don't want him to slide."
Yeah. Everybody on the field is screaming at him to slide all the time, and he's like, "No. My wife would get angry at me if I slid, so I've got to go for it." I don't know if the wife's got his best interest at heart.
Here's the thing, wife: if you want your husband to continue to play in his league and not have no repercussions after football, then I advise him to slide, make a business decision, and slide. Because if you keep on taking hits like you did in the end zone, you will not be playing for very long. Ask Marcus Mariota. Okay, he's taking some shots and it's taking a toll on his body.
Well, and listen, as of right now, though, he's not under contract for next year. So if you're a Titans fan,
right now,
go for it, brother.
Exactly.
Get us those 7 points. Because that did get the crowd going. When he ran for that touchdown, it got the crowd going. So the Titans now sit at 6-5 in the AFC after beating Jacksonville 42-20 last night or yesterday afternoon. And it now means because Oakland got absolutely hammered by the New York Jets, 34-3. I have no idea what that means for Oakland or their trajectory. The Pittsburgh Steelers come back and win 16-10 yesterday over winless Cincinnati. So they struggled with Cincinnati. Mason Rudolph, by the way, benched in the third quarter. Old Devlin Hodges came in and threw a touchdown, and they end up winning 16-10. Cleveland won. Don't look now, but they're 5-6. They've won 3 straight. And then, of course, Houston, Indianapolis on Thursday night. So here's the playoff picture. In the AFC South, you got Houston at 7-4, the Titans and Colts at 6-5, and then the Jags at 4-7. And it means you now are tied with Oakland, Pittsburgh, and Indianapolis in a four-way tie for one wild card spot. Here's the good news if you're a Titans fan. And frankly, if you want to have a discussion about Ryan Tannehill, we don't need to discuss or argue about whether or not this is for real. Right? You know that phrase? Mm-hmm. Oh, are they for real? Is Ryan Tannehill for real? Is the offense for real? Is this Titans team for real? Guess what? We don't need to argue about it because they're going to play Indianapolis this week on the road, mm-hmm. and they're going to play the Oakland Raiders, two teams they are tied with in the standings. They are either going to win those games, and then we'll know it's for real, mm-hmm. or they're not going to win those games, and they're going to miss the playoffs. It is all about the next 2 weeks for the Tennessee Titans.
Or they're going to split, and
we're still not going to know anything.
Still not going to know anything. You know, they are in this fierce wild card race right now with several teams. Obviously, Pittsburgh's at 6-5. Cleveland's still in there. Indy, the Raiders. The Chargers are not completely out of it, but they need a lot to happen in order for them to sneak in the playoffs at 9-7, if indeed that's the case. But right now, Indy leads. I think Indy leads all wild card right now.
Pittsburgh is in the lead with all wild card. They're 5-3 in the conference.
Yeah, in the conference. And
Oakland is second at 4-3.
Yeah, Indy's 5-5, but they are ahead of the Titans because they're 3-3-1 in the division. They're both 2-3 at home and 4-2 at home and 2-3 away. That's ironically, you know, they are basically the same team with the exception of the division.
But Titans can eliminate those tiebreakers by winning the next two games.
They have two games. They have two games within the conference. And if they can beat Indianapolis, that gives them pushes them closer, regardless of what they do with Oakland. It's for Oakland's sake, they need to win that game. But for the Titans, the one game they need to win of the two is the Indianapolis game. They need to win that game.
And let's just be honest about this. It may be overreactionary, but who cares? It's sports talk radio. It is, of course, Ryan Tannehill will go up to Indianapolis and beat the Colts. Of course. Mm-hmm. This team could not beat the Indianapolis Colts with Jacoby Brissett or with Andrew Luck. Although, didn't the Titans, when Brissett was the quarterback, they beat him twice, I believe.
Yeah, they beat him twice.
So that was, there was that, you know, Andrew Luck thing was part of the 15-1 or whatever it was. And, of course, Ryan Tannehill's sort of fairy tale story here with the Tennessee Titans would include a win over the Colts on the road. Like, of course it would. So, again, we're going to learn. Because these teams, I'm not worried about the Steelers as much because of their quarterback situation and what they're going through right now. They sit at 6-5 and in the lead of this whole thing. But Oakland just got destroyed by the Jets in hideous fashion. And you're going to play them in 2 weeks on the road. The Colts, you know, they are going to be a tough out. That is going to be a ridiculously big game. So I don't think we can undersell how big that game is. But, you know, I can hear the radio host, oh, is Ryan Tannehill for real? Are the Titans for real? Don't waste your breath because there's 2 weeks here where these are playoff games. Mm-hmm. And if Mike Vrabel is worth it, worth his salt, and Ryan Tannehill is worth a big new contract, if all these guys are worth it, Derrick Henry worth the money we're talking about tossing around for him, if all these guys are worth it, they'll take care of business and they'll beat the Colts and the Raiders. Because right now you're tied with these two teams. Mm-hmm. It's going to play out in front of our eyes. We don't have to argue about are they for real, because we're going to learn about it in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, we are. You know, regardless of what happened from this point on, if you are sort of questioning or you're still up in the air or you don't think they are, meaning the Tennessee Titans are for real, well, they get a chance to prove it because they got Indy and they got Houston twice in this division. Obviously, they got to play a NFC team in Saints, but they got them here, I believe, Oakland. So they are going to prove to you whether they are a playoff team or not. Whether they are this team is for real. I think they are, but is it a playoff team? Can they make this run and become a playoff team? Mm-hmm. This is a good team. And they are for real. But can they be that playoff team? And it's going to take, and this is why, you know, I enjoy the way the NFL kind of construct the second half of the season, because a lot of the games that you're playing are division games and they mean something. It's not like you're playing them all at the beginning of the season, then you're playing conference games or non-conference games. These are division games. You got a shot. You got a chance, honestly. You got a chance at 6-5 to still win the division. Mm-hmm. You really do. But you got to beat Indy, and then you got to take care of business against Houston twice. You have an opportunity still to win the division. Just think about that. After all of this they did to begin the season, and we kind of said, man, this team, you know, we don't know where this team's going. They still got an opportunity to win a division. Now, is the opportunity, you know, percentage low and hard? Absolutely, it is. But this team right now, with the way that they're playing, if they can continue to play this way, get some lucky bounces here and there, because we can say, well, if Houston continues to play the way they plan, or Indy continue to play the way they plan, they can win the division. It all depends on who gets the lucky bounces. You can play well, but if you had two turnovers and playing well, that can cause you to lose by 7 points or 3 points or 2 points.
Just ask the Buccaneers.
Absolutely. So you can play well and still have a miscue, and that ends up beating you. So all three of these teams are playing well, Indy, Titans, and Houston. But it's who doesn't make the mistake that's going to cost them the game moving forward.
Yep. A couple other quick stats here before we get to a huge story out of the Nashville Predators world. A.J. Brown, 4 catches, 135 yards, and a touchdown. He now leads the team with 581 yards receiving and 4 touchdowns on the season. Harold Landry with another sack yesterday. That's 4 straight games with a sack. He's now up to 8 on the season. You can basically mark him down for double-digit sacks now this year. He's really turned into a dependable pass rusher. And again, I just think across the board, 9.1 yards per play for the offense, 4.7 yards per play for the defense. That is exceptional efficiency from both sides of the ball for the Tennessee Titans. Now, can they continue that? And shout out to Darren Bates for one of the biggest plays of the entire game that probably won't get a lot of love today, but I think that was the play that ended the game. The strip fumble on the kickoff return that immediately led to a second Derrick Henry touchdown in 20 seconds, I think. That's what ended the game, and I think Darren Bates deserves a lot of credit for that. One of the better special teams players on that roster for sure. Really rough news for the Nashville Predators, and it didn't have to happen. It didn't have to go down like that. We will get to the drama and the controversy coming out of the Preds' win on Saturday night, 4-2 over the St. Louis Blues, the Stanley Cup champs on the road, but there was controversy. We'll get to that when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Yossi over for Johansson. Now Forsberg's one-timer deflected in front. Duchesne trying to get at it. It ends up behind the net, and ending up in the net is Victor Arvidsson. And there's going to be another penalty call here.
Well, Arvidsson got right in there and took a beating from Bortuzzo.
Did he ever?
You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. And that was midway through the first period or so. On Saturday evening, the Preds go into St. Louis and they win 4-2. They get off to a great start, a goal a la the Vancouver Canucks. They score a goal in the first 20 seconds, and they go up 1-0, and they hold on for a win 4-2. An important and critical 2 points on the road in the division against St. Louis. They will rematch tonight, and this is one of those things, one of those times, Derek, where I love the home and home, because Robert Bortuzzo was suspended 4 games by the NHL for the cross check on Victor Arvidsson. Victor Arvidsson is out now 4 to 6 weeks with what they're saying is a lower body injury. If you watch it, both of his knees sort of get caught underneath him. His legs get caught underneath him when Bortuzzo goes back for the second cross check. So to lay out the scene for you guys, Victor Arvidsson standing in the crease. He's chasing down a rebound. He does everything he's supposed to do. He's on the backside of the net, and no one's covering him, and Bortuzzo's angry that he left him open. So he goes over there and cross-checks him into the goal, draws that penalty. But then when Bortuzzo looks over at the ref and is like, come on, I can't believe you're calling that on me, which is a hockey play, he then turns around and cross-checks Victor Arvidsson down into his back while he's still on the ice, and it looks like he gets both of his legs caught up underneath him. And Arvidsson's not a big guy. Bortuzzo is a big guy, and he just slams the stick down into his back and like slams him into the ice, which is not a hockey play at all.
Mm-hmm.
Got him suspended. Listen, here's the bottom line. This dude's dirty. This is a dirty player. He's been suspended twice before for cross-checking. He is a, quote, repeat offender as defined by the NHL. 4 games is not going to teach this guy a lesson. And in the meantime, the Nashville Predators are now without their little engine that could, Victor Arvidsson, for 4 to 6 weeks. They're going to have to figure out a way to replace his production and energy and ability. But this guy, this Bortuzzo cat for St. Louis, is going to get a 4-game suspension. He takes out your best, one of your best players for 4 games. You got to give him a harder penalty than that. This guy's clearly dirty.
Yeah, you know, it depends on how. What was his first? How many games did he get the first time compared to this time? The first hit was, I guess the first hit is one of those hits where you kind of see it in hockey every now and then when a guy gets frustrated, he kind of chucks a guy from the back.
And it's a penalty.
Yeah, it was the second one that wasn't called for. And then, it's not funny, but then the goalie take a shot at it. Did you see the goalie take a shot at Arvidsson? Yeah. I don't know if the goalie knew Arvidsson had been hit twice
already. Already hurt,
and already hurt. And he just kind of took a check at it from behind. Well, I'm like, man, why are y'all messing with this little dude, man? Like, what is he doing to y'all? He's frustrated, y'all, because he's so damn good.
And Binnington did, and even Chris Mason on the broadcast was like, oh, that was just a love tap. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
Like but the second one clearly.
Yeah, the second one was the dirty one. I didn't like that one, yeah.
If it is, in fact, a lower body injury, which is the only thing the Nashville Predators are reporting, it looks very obvious that his knees were caught under, like his legs were caught underneath him, and when he gets forced down, there's that recoil where you get where your legs get almost extended too far or too close. It's not a hyperextension, but it's the opposite of that, right? Where your legs are sort of compacted too much. It looks, and then he's kind of limping and like messing with his knees as he gets up. So I mean, it looks like knees. You don't want to speculate, but it's the NHL. They don't give you any information. It's lower body. It was a dirty play.
I could see. Yeah, it was a dirty play. The second hit, it's what I didn't like. It's kind of like the whole pouncy thing. It wasn't the initial hit. It was when he got on the ground and kicked him. That's what I don't like. That's what taking it a little bit too far. In this one, that's what took it a little bit too far. When he's already on the ground, you've already chucked him once in the back. You got him.
You picked up the penalty, too.
You picked up the penalty. And then you chuck him again on why he's laying there. That right there is uncalled for. And maybe the lead, because it's a 4-7 game or 4-7 day or game injury, 4 to 7 weeks.
For Arvidsson. 4 to 6, yeah.
4 to 6. I don't know. Maybe the league said, league thought, okay, we'll give him. They should have gave him 5 games because.
I'd say 15. 15 games.
5 games.
Because there are certain guys that don't learn. He's done this. This is his MO.
It all depends on how long he was suspended, if at all, the first time.
There has been precedent set, and I don't have the exact name. Tom Wilson comes to mind. There are some other guys that, when they exhibit this sort of behavior over and over again, and you fall into the literal, quote, repeat offender category, which is where Robert Bortuzzo falls into this category now, which is why they gave him the suspension to begin with. There's guys that get 15, 17, 20 game suspensions, and they change who they are as players because it actually does the job. The suspension
works.
But
I want to know, was
I don't think a 4-game suspension is going to change how he plays.
It might. I don't know. But I want to know, because then it's the league's fault if they didn't suspend him prior to this hit, because now all of a sudden he's a repeat offender, and it was a dirty hit. And maybe it should have been more than 4 games. But
for this exact thing, too. He's been busted by the NHL for cross-checking.
Yeah,
twice.
No, you're absolutely right. But my thing is that if they didn't suspend him, or how many games did they suspend him for the first time it happened, if they suspended him at all, and then compared to this time, because if they hadn't suspended him at all for a similar play like this, you can't just all of a sudden say now, well, we didn't get you the last time, so we're going to triple it now.
I think he was suspended a couple of games.
If it was 2 games, then you say you double it 4. Then the next time, it's, I don't know what it is.
And my point is it's never going to change unless you actually make it cost him something. Like,
well, it's going to cost him. It depends on how much money you're getting paid. It's going to cost him a lot.
But it costs the Preds a lot more. It costs the Preds a lot more because it was a huge win, and overshadowing this is, a really good first period from the Nashville Predators, something we haven't seen in basically since the first couple of weeks of the season. We see Forsberg get out to a hot start and get a goal. UC Saros plays exceptionally well. They don't give up the second goal until very late in the third period. It was basically they played a really solid, tight second and third period where they kept that 3-1 lead through the majority of the game. The empty netter, I have not seen a team celebrate an empty netter like the Preds celebrated on Saturday night. You could tell there was relief to get the winning streak over and to pick up 2 points on the road against the Stanley Cup champs. It was a huge win, but it was an extremely costly win. Uh-huh. And it's frustrating when you see something sort of fall into this very obvious sort of category of dirty play, dirty hit from a dirty player with a track record of dirty behavior, and you're not going to punish him in a way that will change that behavior. And in the meantime, the Nashville Predators are now without their top goal scorer, arguably one of the two or three best, whatever you want to call Victor Arvidsson, one of the most important players on the team. He's now gone for 4 to 6 weeks, and that's after the new year, potentially. And if that's the way it goes, they're going to have to ride without him for a while, and that means somebody's going to have to pick that up. I have a feeling I know who I would point to. I don't know how Kyle Turris is not in the lineup tonight after a third consecutive healthy scratch. I don't see how he's not the answer. He's sitting there ready to go, waiting, and needs the opportunity, and now you've got an injury to one of your top players. You know, you're back on the ice tonight against St. Louis in a huge game. I'm interested to see what the emotions look like tonight. Now that we know that what happened to Victor Arvidsson, now that we know that this guy was a dirty player with a dirty hit and a suspension, I'm interested to see how the emotions are handled tonight by both teams.
Well, I mean, they can't. It wasn't as if this was a team, you know, act where, you know, everybody was just taking cheap shots for the St. Louis Blues. It was one guy, and I think that's how the Predators have to approach it. And, you know, if the Blues are smart, that's how they approach it. You know, okay, that guy's not playing, you know, and we don't expect that type of play from anyone else on your team. Now, we're going to get, you know, what happens normally in a hockey game, but we're not going to get the cheap shots that this guy is known for. So I don't think you, as a team, if the, you know, the Predators are trying to build on this, you know, one game. When is it a win streak when it's just one
I
game?
I don't think it can count
as
a streak.
Yeah, this one game.
You need another one.
Yeah, they need another. If they want to get on a win streak.
There you go.
They need to put that stuff aside and say, we got to go out there and play. Because
I might be on the other side of this, and I'm not condoning dirty behavior, but what I think you need to set a tone.
No, what you don't want to happen is, what if you set that tone right away and it caused you to be put in the penalty box and you give up a goal,
right,
and then that's the only goal scored during the season. Now, you just got to pick and choose within the rules. Now, there are going to be penalties that happens, but you don't want it to be a blatant, soon as we come out, I'm taking a hit because I retaliated from last game. What you want to do is kind of systematically work it in and, you know, give a chuck here and there, like in a second period.
Throw an elbow,
so no one will be really thinking, okay, that was because of what happened to Arvidsson.
Pre-game at 6, puck drop at 7 tonight at Bridgestone Arena, St. Louis at Nashville, of course, and after a huge 4-2 win over the Blues over the weekend, and just a first-place team at the Stanley Cup champs, you know, you lose Victor Arvidsson, the whole thing. I think there's going to be some emotion on display tonight. Like you said, you want it to be smart emotion. Channel that emotion intelligently and efficiently. It doesn't mean I'd be okay with them taking a few shots at some guys tonight. Not dirty shots, but maybe a little extra.
Eye gouge.
Well, I don't think I need to be gouging eyeballs, but a little extra face wash there, you know, a little glove in the face. Maybe I hit you a little late after you get rid of the puck and I get, you know, give you a few checks into the boards there. I don't know. I expect there to be some emotion, and I expect that team to say, you know what, you took our guy out. We're not going to stand for that. And I think it's important for this team that's, I think, a finesse team to show that they're not a finesse team. Mm-hmm. Show that they've got a little toughness, a little edge to them, a little grit, sandpaper, jam, whatever these hockey guys want to call it. All right, Corey Curtis is going to join us when we return. Back to the Titans' huge win, 42-20 over the Jags. We'll get to that when we return right here on Morning Drive.